Would you turn with me to the second epistle of Timothy, the fourth chapter? Pardon me. Second Timothy, fourth chapter. Just a few scriptures for our meditation this morning. Paul, in this letter to this young man in the Lord, to encourage him, these two letters, two epistles that he wrote are so beautiful. And in this chapter, he's exhorting him with a solemn charge, because Paul knew his time was short on this earth. And I want to begin reading with the first verse just to give you some context. It says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, with doctrine, in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." That, can you imagine the Holy Spirit through Paul describing what we're seeing today in this world, seeing the denigration of the Word of God and the mocking and people looking for something other than the gospel, having their own thoughts and ideas, will not endure sound doctrine. Preacher, don't preach so hard. We kind of mellow it out so it doesn't make us feel bad. We don't want to come to church and feel bad. We don't want conviction. We want things to be, you know, to not be aggressive against our lifestyle. Praise God. Lord, help us. I say, Holy Spirit, would you have your way in us? I think I can speak for my brother Mel and brother Steve. When we come on this pulpit and prepare before the service and prepare, we're asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you give us a word? We can take scriptures out of the book and come up with 3 points and a conclusion and give some sort of a speech, a talk. But that's not what we're about, because the Holy Spirit wants to reach. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us. He wants to bring something to our hearts, that whether it's to open our eyes or to encourage us or to strengthen us, whatever it is. And praise God, we believe when we come into this sanctuary, the presence of God is here. We believe the Holy Spirit has already prepared the way, and he knows what you need and what I need. We don't know as preaching the word, but we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you take us and speak what you want to say, oh God, that it will bring edification, that it will bring transformation, it will bring encouragement to the congregation this morning. And here he's saying, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Sixth and seventh verse are the really impressive ones, impressing my heart this morning. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And this seventh verse has been just ringing in my soul for the last few days. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Oh, praise the Lord. What better eulogy could anyone have this morning? He kept the faith. Praise God. He fought a good fight. She fought a good fight. Finished the course. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. The theme and the title of this message is, what is going to be your spiritual legacy? What is your spiritual legacy going to be? And you notice I didn't say just legacy, but I want to focus on the spiritual part of it. What is a legacy? The definition is something that is passed on. It may be of one's faith, ethics, core values. It could be monetary or your assets. A legacy may come from one's character, reputation, and the life you lead, setting an example for others and to guide their futures. We probably all have attended funerals and heard eulogies spoken. And we've heard they were a kind person. They were baseball fans. They were good to their families. They provided. They were instrumental in the community. All good attributes of, you know, this human nature. But the one that really counts is the spiritual legacy that is left. The spiritual legacy that is left. Fathers, if your legacy is, well, I taught my kids how to play baseball. I taught my kids how to play hockey or soccer or whatever sport, you name it. If that's all that's there, how hollow that is. Oh, it's a good thing. I'm not being critical. Fathers, don't get mad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But if that's all there is, did you take them to church? Did you live the life? Did you stand for Jesus Christ? Did you make the effort and the sacrifice to bring them to the service? Did you take them to Sunday school? Did you do that? Oh, the kids were tired this morning and this and that and the other, and they stayed up late last night, and you know, we know all those things. You know, being in the service, they pay attention. They pay attention to what's going on. And they're exposed to the Word of God. They may not understand it all at a young age. That's okay. But they're starting to hear the Word. And they're in Sunday school and they're hearing the Word. Some time ago, I had in the message, I mentioned Kath and I were going through some financial concerns and kind of worried about it. And in the message, I mentioned it was during the holiday season and we were shopping. We were out all day and we were talking about it during the day and blah, blah, blah. And someone bought our breakfast. You know how they pay it forward? Somebody bought our breakfast. And someone, and later in that evening, bought our dinner. We didn't know who they were. They were in the restaurant. We went to pay the bill and they said, well, it's already taken care of. Well, who was it? Well, they left. They didn't want to be. Well, praise God. And like the Lord was saying, I'll take care of you. Just don't worry about the stuff. I'll take care of you. And after the service, I was gathering my books, and Sister Lily Pattingill, I call her Lily Pad, came walking by, and she said, Brother Ron, and I looked up, and I said, yes, honey, what? She says, you should have bought a lottery ticket that day. I said, honey, you're right. I should have. They're paying attention. They're paying attention. You see how important it is to be in the service? Oh, God, help us. What will be your spiritual legacy? I can't think of a better epithet to put on a tombstone. He fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. Oh, praise God. In Philippians, Paul tells us, if I can turn to it quickly here, in the third chapter, he tells us things that are not important in this. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, if anybody could be confident of their personal resume, I could be that person. I could be even better than someone else because, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. I was a doctor of the law. I had the credentials. I had it. I was just going after things. I had the resume. I had all the things, the attributes that were necessary. But then he says, well, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. The things sometimes that we think are so important, they're not really important at all in the eyes of God. Oh, I accomplished this and I did that, and look, I got this degree, and then I got this job, and I become a manager, a general manager. I've arisen in the ranks, and I built this and I built that, and I did all these things. So what? God's not against those things. No, but what's the spiritual legacy, my brother, my sister? What is it that you're leaving behind? What is it that the people are going to remember? Think about it. What are they going to remember? If I would ask you, I don't want to sound morbid, but if I would ask you, write your own eulogy right now. Write your own eulogy right now. What would it say? What would it say? Paul didn't say, I went to church. I sang the songs. I sat in the pew. No, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Jude writes in his letter that he says, I was going to write to you about something else, and the Holy Spirit kind of changed my mind and said, to write to you to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. It's being watered down, not so much more than in Jude's day, so much more today. It's being watered down. It's a watered down gospel. We got the seeker-sensitive church. And we're taking the ideas of mankind and how to market the church to the world. We got to make it so, well, you know, we don't need to dress so formal, and we need to have torn jeans and sweatshirts and all that kind of thing. We want people to feel comfortable when they come in. I want them to know they're coming into the presence of Almighty God. I don't care how they're dressed. Amen. God will take care of that. We're not here with a dress code, but the Holy Spirit will take care of it. And we got to have these amenities and those amenities, and we got to have this outreach and all that. And, you know, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to manifest himself and work in the church and begin to work in the hearts and to convict men and women. They are lost and undone without Jesus Christ. That's the message of the hour. Paul said, I came with one message. I came to know one thing among you, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Praise God. He's the answer today. Praise the Lord. No one else, nothing else. Oh God, help us this morning. Help us to remember. Keeping the faith, what does that mean? Keeping dear to you what the Lord has committed, what you understand of the gospel, praise God. In Deuteronomy, we find, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. What did God do for you? Don't forget it. Don't forget it. You know, we get in automatic after a while, being a Lord a few years, several years, and things are going along, and the family's doing okay, and we kind of get into, we stop pressing for the kingdom. We become satisfied with our spiritual condition. And I don't find that in the Word of God. When I read the epistles and I read the book of Acts, I don't find them saying, well, you know, we got baptized with the Holy Ghost and got churches are going and, you know, we can kind of take it easy now. We can kind of sit back and just not have to fight so much. No. Paul was praying for direction for his missionary trips, and he heard a voice say, come over to Macedonia. Shall we go here? Shall we go there? And the Holy Spirit said, no, not there, not there. Listen, wait. I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul wrote. He says, I'm pressing. I haven't attained what God has called me to do yet. I'm not where I need to be yet, praise God, but I'm pressing. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. He didn't say, I danced a good dance. I conquered the corporate world. He says, I fought a good fight. Do you realize when you come to Jesus Christ, when you turn your life over to him, when you accept the atonement of his blood for your sins, you have a mark on your back. The enemy of our soul, Satan, oh, we don't believe, you know, we don't, the world doesn't want to talk about Satan. That's hocus pocus, that's spooky stuff, that's all, you know. No, it's real. The greatest thing Satan has done is to convince people he doesn't exist. Is there good and evil? People scratch their heads. Well, I'm not sure. No, there's a real Satan. And he's after your soul. Paul says, we've wrestled against not flesh and blood. Wrestle. It's not the battle we're in, the fight we're in is not we're shooting bullets from 200 yards away. We're not dropping bombs from a mile up in the sky. We're face to face, hand to hand combat. We're wrestling. We're fighting with the enemy of our soul. It's up close and personal. Every day we fight within our own nature. Our own nature is contrary to the will of God. I don't care how good of a person you are, how good of a person I am. That's not the issue. We still have the sin nature, and that sin nature wants to take control. The sin nature wants to do its thing. The sin nature wants what it wants when it wants it. But now, because of new creatures in Christ Jesus, because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have an ability, we have now all things that are necessary. We have the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to help us overcome the sin nature. And we can crucify this flesh. We can overcome it, praise God. We have power. We have power, my brother and sister. Brother Ron, I know people are baptized with the Holy Ghost that have addictions. That may be very true. That may be very true. But that's not because the Holy Spirit doesn't have power. It's because they haven't submitted themselves to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You got to surrender. You got to give it all to God. Oh, this old nature. You think your nature wants to surrender? You think your nature wants to be dominated by the Holy Ghost? It doesn't. Because the Holy Spirit is going to cause you to sacrifice. The Holy Spirit is going to cause you to kill these fleshly lusts and desires and intentions. Amen. That's because he says, time will come and they'll not endure sound doctrine. Oh, that's too restrictive. You mean I can't do that? I can't do this. You mean I can't go there? There's no rule book. People want to say, well, your church got a rule book. No, we don't have a rule book. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you can do and can't do. The Holy Spirit will witness to your spirit. When, you know, it's I've used this example before. You have that GPS in the cars today. Most cars have these GPS systems. And every time you make a wrong turn, turn around, danger, danger, whatever it says. You know, they speak out. It says, you know, you make a U-turn at the next right, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit's always pointing you to Christ, just like the GPS system is always pointing you towards the goal, whatever you set. The Holy Spirit is pointing you to Christ. He's pointing you to the life eternal. And I love the example of Paul. Oh, praise God. He surrendered to the Holy Spirit. He went through terrific things. Things we will never experience in our lifetime. Beatings and stonings and criticisms. They criticize his speech. They criticize his appearance. They mocked him. But he had the anointing of the Holy Ghost within him. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Remember, keeping the faith. Remember what the Lord has done. Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless thy holy name. Forget, you know, don't forget any of his benefits. Redeemeth thy life from destruction. Crowneth thee with loving kindness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. What a good God we have this morning. Oh, Lord, help us. Praise God. He talks about in keeping the faith. What does it take to keep the faith ever growing? Ever growing in the Lord. Not become sedentary. Don't become plateaued, if I could use that expression. But to keep growing in the Lord. We'll never attain all the knowledge that God wants us to have, but we keep pressing. We keep striving for that. Praise God. In 1 Peter's second epistle, he writes, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he says, and besides this, add to your faith this and that and the other. I don't want to read it all. Praise God. He says, wherefore, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, help us, Lord, this morning. You have done so much for us. Help us, Lord, to consider where we are spiritually. The theme, the title of the message, where, you know, what is your, what is going to be your spiritual legacy? What did you leave behind? Not that anybody's going to pass away soon. That's not the intent. But where are we right now? What is my spiritual legacy? Have I been faithful in my attendance in the service? Have I been participating? Have I been praying? Have I been interceding? Do I have a burden on my heart for the work of God, for the lost? Whether it's my family or it's the lost in this world, do I have that burden? Is there something within me that is causing me to draw closer to seek his face? To get away from our own satisfying our own personal needs and our own pleasures and our own desires. And those are not bad. I'm just saying, Lord, there's more to life than that. Because if that's all you got at the end, you're going to be empty. I don't see any satisfaction when you're laying on the bed before you pass from this life and say, well, you know, I'm glad I got that PhD degree, and I'm glad I became a general manager, and I'm glad I... You're thinking, where is my soul going to be in eternity? Brother Lewis used to quote a famous writer. I was going to look it up. I never did. I promise I'm going to do it. He said, life is an isthmus between two eternities. Wow. I thought that was powerful. Life is an isthmus between two eternities. It connects two eternities. You're headed for one or the other. Well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what you believe. I don't receive that, brother. It doesn't matter if you receive it or not. It's the truth. It's the truth. Well, I'm only 15 years old. God holds me accountable. Yes, he does. Did you take the water baptism? Why did you do that? Because something convicted your heart. Because you felt the call of God. You felt his presence. And you said, Lord, I want to follow you. That's what you said. That's what you did. When you came to that realization, when you came to that understanding, you are accountable. And your eternal destiny is now in your hands. What are you going to do about it? Well, somebody can say, well, you know, I haven't taken the water baptism yet, so I'm off the hook. No way. You're not. Because you've heard the word. And you've seen the work of the Holy Spirit. And you've heard testimonies. And you know what we're preaching is truth. Whether you accept it or not, it doesn't matter. You know it's truth. And God's not trying to guilt you into doing something. He's not trying to make you feel bad. God is trying to save your soul. Praise God. He wants you to live in heaven with him forever. That's his whole point. And he's asking the question, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit is asking the question, what is going to be your spiritual legacy this day? Did you attend church when it was convenient? Did you give lip service to the gospel? Did you show the light? When the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there, I don't think you belong in that crowd. Did you go anyway? When you were looking at that thing on the website and the Holy Spirit saying, this is not for you, what did you answer? Oh, Holy Spirit, help us this morning. What will be your spiritual legacy? You know, in Revelations, I'm going to close. There's a verse we quote at funerals from time to time. And it says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead, not just any dead, but blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Not their labors follow them, their works. What they have done, their testimony, their legacy, their behavior, their example will follow them. We read in Deuteronomy, tell it to your sons and tell it to your sons' sons. And dad, it's not just saying, sons, you need to go to church. Well, dad, aren't you coming? Well, no, I'm not coming today, but you need to go. That doesn't work. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. We pray for our families. We pray the Holy Spirit get into work. And with this scripture that we read, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, I like this part, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing this morning? Young people, it's not too early to get serious about your salvation. You are accountable. If you understand what the Lord's saying, you are accountable. The Holy Spirit is saying it to you to encourage you, to strengthen you. The Holy Spirit is saying, you know, you got to look at the big picture. You got to look at the eternal things. Too many times our focus is on the natural, the material things, the things of this life, and we're embroiled in life, and things are, we're busy in school and work and jobs and family, et cetera, et cetera. And all those things we have to deal with, yes. But God says, step back. He says in Corinthians, I believe, if you then be risen with Christ, if you then be risen with Christ, do you identify with the risen Christ? Do you intend to live with him in heaven forever? Then keep your eyes on the eternal things. Say, Lord, I want my spiritual legacy to be all that you want it to be. Not to glorify me, absolutely not, but to glorify you. That it may bring others to the kingdom. What do? Our life is a sacrifice, a testimony, a witness. God called us to be a witness. The Great Commission, preach the word, testify, teach. Give them the example. Well, I'm not a teacher. Yes, you are. You have children. You have family. By your example, you're a teacher. By your example, you're a witness. Well, I can't talk to my kids. And they go through those rebellious times. I think every parent has experienced that. But you know what? If you stay the course, if you continue to pray and trust God and live the life and be the example, what's God calling you to do this morning? I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone that's here this morning, maybe more than one person, but I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone this morning. What's God calling you to do? Maybe to get more serious about your salvation, maybe to pay attention, to come to church more, to get into the Spirit, into the Scriptures, to live the life. Well, I'm young. I got a lot of time. No, you don't. Remember that program, Fame? A theme song used to get me. I don't know why. It just said, there was one phrase in there, and they were singing, I'm going to live forever. No, you're not. You remember that? Maybe it's just me. I have these things, useless facts I remember. I don't know why. But the point is, we're not going to live forever. That's not being afraid of death. That's not the point. There's an eternal destiny for you and I. Whether we pass away in this earth or whether the Lord comes in the rapture, it's going to be over. He's coming back. Don't you see the way this world is going? He's coming back. Oh, the powers of sin and hell are turned loose in this world today. What's going on around us, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so diabolical. It only affirms in my heart, Lord, we know you're coming back and it's soon. And he's saying, get my church ready. Get my church ready. Church, come on. We don't have time to waste. Well, when I get my degree, when I get out of school and I get a job and things settle down, I'll get serious about the Lord. No, you won't. Because the enemy's not going to stop letting up working on you that whole time. He's going to find other distractions. He's going to find other things to keep you away from God, other things that get your mind off of God. And there'll be a few negative things that happen in your life on top of that that even discourage you even more. And you're saying, oh, Lord, how is this ever going to get fixed? This is where I am. No, it's not. You don't have to be right there. The word says we're more than conquerors. We're victorious. Is the word lying? No, the word is truth. Amen. Launch out into the deep. Believe the Lord for his promises. The psalmist says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Pray big. That's what the psalmist is saying. Pray big. Don't settle for a little bit. Pray big. Because we got a big God this morning. A God who can answer great prayers. Praise the Lord. He is faithful this morning. Amen. Oh, glory to his name. I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. Oh, Lord, let that be our testimony here this morning. Amen. May the Lord encourage you. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?